You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Go ahead and take a seat. Welcome today. I want us to just say together in just a moment, Merry Christmas, because now it's December. We can throw it out there. We can say that. We're ready for it. We're ready to go with that. And think about it, that all over the city today, churches, great churches are all over our city talking about Jesus, which is amazing. And our four campuses, we're able to do that as well, which is good. So on the count of three, I'm going to say Merry Christmas to you, and then you're going to nicely say it back to me. You ready? One, two, three. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Doesn't it feel good to be able to do that? It's a little bit better. It's a notch up from Happy Holidays in my mind. I want Merry Christmas to be able to put that out there. Turn to the book of John. John chapter 1 is where we're going to be. We're starting a new series, and the new series is called Heavenly Christmas. We've been talking about the minor prophets all semester long. So this is the first time you've turned to the New Testament in months and months and months. Doesn't it feel good to have back the New Testament? And so we've been looking at the minor prophets, which were great. And I told you when we finished Malachi, the last minor prophet. We did one minor prophet every single Sunday for many, many weeks, 12 weeks actually. And so Malachi, when we ended Malachi and it was done, the Old Testament was closed. I told you that there was 400 years of silence between the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's called the interbiblical period is what it's called. And that 400 years of silence, there was no prophets, there was no word from God. They still had the Old Testament they could read and hear the stories and the accounts of God, but there was no new word from the Lord for 400 years until that baby cried on Christmas. Until that happened, and really before that with John the Baptist and different things happening before that. But the big word was when the Christ child, when Christmas happened and we heard that first cry. So perfectly planned. We've come through the minor prophets, all the prophecies, all the issues, 400 years of silence. And then now we're here and we're going to see a heavenly Christmas to be able to really look at who Jesus is and tune our hearts for this Savior that broke the silence of God by being the Word of God, the message of God, and to be able to declare that. Now, I had a good friend, and they did a lot of lights in their front yard, as we all like to do, and on the house, in the yard, and they had a nativity scene with all of these spotlights on the nativity scene. Well, they came home one day, and the spotlight that was on Jesus, the bulb had burned out. So they had everything else lit. We had Mary, Joseph, and all the animals and all that stuff, wise men, and Jesus was dark. Well, don't you know that can happen in our Christmas time, can it? We get all about the shopping, we get all about the presents, get all about all those things, and it's like the light is burned out on who this whole thing is really about. Not about Santa, not about reindeer, it's about Jesus being born there in Bethlehem and what he came to do. And so what we want to do in this series is I want to get that bulb 1,000 watts into that bulb. And we turn off every other bulb that's out there, but get that bulb right on the Lord and get a heavenly Christmas. We're going to get a whole lot of earthly Christmas, but what's God's plan for a heavenly Christmas? Our focus to be on Jesus, on who he is and what he does, which is so great. So we want to illuminate Jesus, light him up bright, and let us really look at him. Now, I want you to look at John chapter 1, verse 1. So John 1, 1, we're starting off here in the book of John. Here we go. In the beginning, have you heard that phrase before in another book of the Bible? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. So this Word is a person. It's Jesus. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. So here we have, I'm going to give you three things of having a heavenly Christmas. The first thing to realize is this. Realize Jesus is eternal, not just earthly. Jesus is eternal, not just earthly. The book of John begins like the book of Genesis begins, in the beginning. So he goes back, not going to Bethlehem yet, going all the way back, in the beginning, in the beginning. Let me teach you a couple things along the way. The doctrine of creation. Now, I know doctrine's a big word. It's kind of a seminary word. It makes it go, I don't know if I want to hear about doctrine. The doctrine of creation is going to get us into this whole thing, and it's going to make it so much more rich in our Christmas, in our hearts, when we really focus in on that. See, it says, in the beginning. It's just like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1. And so he brings us all the way back to creation. Why is that? That's because Jesus is a part of creation. Jesus is a part of creation. He said the Word was God. The Word was with God. And here he is, the Word, that he was a part of creation. Now, why has Satan assaulted creation so much? Here's why. Because if you can make man top of the food chain instead of God, then you can do anything you want in regards to sin, right? But instead of having God as creator, because when there's accountability from God as creator to man as creation, it's like the vase sassing the potter is what it's like. But when you realize he's the creator, then that changes everything. So what the enemy's tried to do is to worm his way in, to be able to say, hey, there's no creator. This is all a big chance. And not only is it a big chance, you're the best thing that's ever happened in this deal. You used to be a cell, then you turned into a tadpole, then you turned into a frog, and you turned into a monkey, and now you're here in all your beauty. And you get to decide any tree you want to eat from. You can decide what's a man, what's a woman. You can decide what is sin, what is not sin. You can decide what you want to do, how you want to do it. You're the number one because you're the one that evolved all the way up. Well, if we're in evolution, then what's next? There's got to be something after us, right? It's got to keep going. Well, no, we're created in the image of God. So he brings it back and he says, in the beginning, right at the beginning, because now before we get to Christmas, we get to creation. I want you to listen to this sentence. I've thought about this sentence. Here it is. Belief in creation precedes realizing our need for redemption. Belief in creation precedes realizing our need for redemption. If there is no creator, then you do not need a savior. You see it? Because you're the top of the deal. You get to choose whatever you want to do. So, but if there's a creator and we realize that we've sinned, now I need redemption, and that redemption needs a savior. And I need a savior that is for all of eternity. So not an earthly Christmas, but a heavenly Christmas. I need eternity to come to earth. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. He is eternal, not just earthly. He's God's son. He was not created. He has always existed. He is one from the beginning, Alpha to the end, Omega. He has no birth date, really. He has no death date. He rises again. He was already around before he even got, before he was born into Bethlehem. So that's eternality of Jesus. Do you know he's eternal? Let me give you a few verses to just kind of tell you this. John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus says, I truly tell you, before Abraham, which is way back in your Old Testament, I am. So he was there. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, give you just a little bit of it. God appointed Jesus heir of all things, and he made the universe through him. Jesus was a part of creation. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Revelation 1, 8, Jesus is the one who is, present tense, who was, past tense, and who is to come. Hebrews chapter 13, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 17, it says, now, Father, this is a big one, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had before the world existed. See it? Jesus is saying, the glory that I had before the world existed. So God is creator. Jesus is creator. Even in Genesis, you see, let us make man in our image. The Trinity is already spoken of there. And so the creator God has sent his eternal son to be this baby in the manger. Now, that's a huge deal. That's a huge deal. Some of y'all maybe grew up, my Catholic friends that grew up Catholic, you said the Nicene Creed every week. You could probably say it with me right now if you wanted to say it. It was in the Council of Nicaea in AD 325. They had a lot of controversies going on in the 300 and 400s. So they had a lot of councils to get these things right. Here's what it says about Jesus. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, all of these things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ and one and only Son of God. Listen, begotten from the Father before all ages. Hear the eternality? God from God, light from light, true God from true God. So the true God of the baby is from the true God of heaven, the Trinity. Listen, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father, through him all things were made. And we go on and on. Here's the point I'm trying to make. If you see just Jesus as this little baby that showed up somewhere in between Santa and some wise men, you're not going to get what's going on in the heart for all of eternity. We've got to realize a heavenly Christmas, that God sent his one and only Son, a part of the Trinity, the eternality of Jesus Christ, that he is from eternity past to eternity future. So now I can depend on him. He's created me, and I need an eternal Savior. And I need this Jesus now who's in this manger. He didn't get born on Christmas. He just got earthly on Christmas. We'll talk about that in a little bit with the incarnation. But to be able to see God at work. Do you know the song? I know you do. You love it. We actually have sang it today. Oh, come all ye faithful. And come all ye faithful. In one of the verses, it says, God of God, light of light. Very God, begotten, not created. What is that? That's right from the Nicene Creed right there. And it's saying he's eternal in who he is. Here's the deal. You and I are going to have a tombstone one day. We're going to have a little dash on the tombstone. It's going to have your birth year, your birth date. You already know that one, right? So you're going to have that. That's already etched in. You're going to have this dash that represents your life. And then they're going to fill in another date, and that's going to represent your death date. Now, we don't want this to come early. We're all trying to push that one off, right? We know the birth date. Give me a cake and some presents. I like the dash. Let's don't fill in the other one, right? Let's just leave that, keep that dash as long as we possibly can. Well, let me tell you, Jesus is just the dash. That's all he is. There's no birth date. There's no end date. Jesus is eternal life. The Word of God, John chapter 1, verse 1 that we just read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning from eternity past to eternity future. The Word, what does the Word mean? It's the Greek word logos. It means the message of God. Jesus is the message of God. What did God do in Genesis? He said, God said, let there be life. The Word of God proclaimed and life came. Do you see it? So we need eternity past, yes, if we're going to have eternity future to place our trust, because we're just a dash, we're just a line. He has no birth date. He has no death date. He is God in the form of man come to earth to take us as our Savior into all of eternity. And that's exactly what we need. You and I have a death date. We have a birth date and we have a death date. Now in our house the last couple months, we've been trying to kind of update our wills, to get all that ready. Kids are getting older, things are changing, and so we wanted to update our wills. And if you don't have a will, just sermon in a sermon. The state of Texas has one for you, and you don't like it, okay? Just so you know. So you need to get a will. You want to bless your kids, get a will and clean out your closets, okay? That's how you can do it. That'll really bless your kids. So we've been working on our will to try to get it all set and lawyer and all this stuff to get everything right. And so that got us thinking, and so then I started thinking, well, you know, if we're going to do all this will stuff, well, like, where should we be buried? You know, we're just in our 50s, so but we're like talking about these things. It's kind of spooky, really, a little bit. And so we're like, well, where should we be buried? And so my wife's from this quaint little hill country town in Texas, sweet, sweet little town. And I'm from Houston. So we start talking about, well, where are we going to be buried? And so we started thinking about her little town, literally in the cemetery in her town. I could take you, and I've been there several times. I could take you to the gravestone of her relatives that came from Germany into Texas in the 1800s and show you a tombstone of her great, 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 whatever, grandfather written in German on this tombstone. And then I could walk you through the rest of her family lineage to her parents' grave. Both of her parents are in heaven now. And I could show you my entire wife's family line in one little cemetery in a small little town. Now, we started thinking, well, where do we be buried there? And I was like, well, I'm from Houston. I mean, we could be buried next to I-10. That'd be awesome. That'd be cool. Right? It'd be kind of close to the church. We could do that. And people could get there and go, he was a great guy. Wow. You know, I mean, so we're like, no. And then God bless all the people that are buried there. I'm not trying to make a bunch of fun, but I was like, let's go on your side. So we went over on her side. So this past Thanksgiving, we made an appointment with the cemetery guy at the cemetery. And so we pulled into the cemetery for our appointment, which is spooky. And so it's just down home, man. I knew the one pickup truck, that's the dude. We got out and he got out of his truck. We got out and he started showing us little plots of where we could be buried. And this one's this and this one's that. And this, so we see this one, it's kind of nice. And we're like, okay, that's good. So I got another one. So he shows us another one. We get there and I'm like, I'm thinking this is perfect. This is weird. But this is perfect. there's this tree right here. There's a little road in the cemetery. So you could easily say they're just a couple plots off of the road. You wouldn't have to search to find us. This tree, somebody put a little park bench right there so that somebody could sit and talk about how awesome we are, you know, if they wanted to bring a Subway sandwich, go, they were great, you know, and be able to do that. And so, so we're there. And then, so I'm looking at it and I'm thinking this, we got a tree, we got a bench, we got a road. This is going to be, this is so serene. It's quiet. Everything's good. And then I look up and about 50 yards away, there's a house that somebody thought it'd be a good idea to sell part of the cemetery to these people in the house. That's double spooky, right? Who wants to live at the cemetery? So, but anyway, they're there. And I look at the house. I'm like, well, that's okay. And then I notice there's a trampoline in the backyard. And I'm like, so somebody's going to get to our graves and be sitting there going, they were such great people. And there's going to be an 8-year-old going, boing, boing. Seat drop, boing, boing, boing. Seat drop, boing. I'm like, no, we're not doing this one. We're not doing this. And so we said, no. Now, we hadn't picked out. I'll keep you posted on where we decide to be. But we hadn't picked it out just yet. But here's the deal. Jesus is the dash. You can pick out a grave for him, but he's rising up in 3 days. You could say he was born in Bethlehem, which he was, but I can show you the scriptures, as I just did, that he's from eternity past. He is the eternal Savior, not just some guy born on Christmas that did some cool stuff. And if you and I want to spend eternity with God, here's what we need. We need, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And we need Jesus to show up from all of eternity, from heaven to earth. Jesus born in a manger. How incredible. God's Son, not born even, begotten, created, no, creator, yes. What does that do? That makes the wise men bend their knees because they say he's the creator and he loved me enough to send his Son into this earthly place on my behalf. See it? That's a heavenly Christmas with a light on Jesus. That's not Jesus snuck in between wise men, a couple camels, and a Santa and a reindeer. That is the Savior. Now, the second thing I want to show you is this. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. This even gets even better. Verse 14. The Word, we talked about that, the message of God. God spoke a word and it brought creation. He's the creator. He's the eternal one. He sent his Son. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So here's what we do. Here's our point. Celebrate that Jesus left heaven and dwelt among us. Once we establish the doctrine of eternality, that's, I mispronounced it, but you get it, the eternal nature of Christ, we got that Christ is eternal. God is the creator. He is eternal in nature. He sent his eternal Son, part of creation, to Bethlehem. And he put on flesh and dwelt among us. Here's the big $64,000 seminary word, incarnation. Incarnation. It's the Latin word taken from this very verse right here. So if you were to use the word carnal, you would mean fleshly. Carnal would be fleshly. Incarnation is to be wrapped in flesh. Here's how one person defined it, one commentator. The act of being made flesh. And so here we have the incarnation. Hark the herald angels sing. You love that song. We sang it earlier today. Here's what it says. Hail incarnate deity. Now you know what that means. Deity in flesh. Jesus is just in some guy. God in flesh, hail incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. That is John 1 verse 14 put into a song is all that is. Jesus pleased with us to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. John 1 14, the Word became flesh incarnate and dwelt among us. We observed his glory as the one true Son from the Father. So here we have Jesus has come to earth. And do you see how if you see God as creator, Jesus is eternal. The fact that he showed up on earth is mind-blowing. If you've ever been surprised by somebody, you're like, whoa, you're here. And the celebration happens in your heart. The tears stream in your eyes. You're so excited. Imagine after 400 years of silence, God shows up in the flesh, not as a prophet, Not as a miracle of something physical on earth. He shows up as his son showing up to earth. That changes everything. He wrapped himself in flesh. Why? Follow me on this. Eternity in flesh so that we could be flesh that lives for eternity. See it? So Christmas and the resurrection of Easter are connected because I want to be born again so that I never die and I walk for all of eternity with God. Incredible. The surprise, the blessing, the joy of Jesus showing up on planet Earth. That's a big deal, y'all. And that's what we got to get in our heart in Christmas. I want to show you just a short 40-second video that is a thimble to the ocean of the joy of Jesus showing up and surprising us. Watch this video.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow. Mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams.
Don't those get you every time? A thimble to the joy and the power of the soldier of all of heaven that's going to go to the cross for us shows up in Bethlehem as prophesied. Incarnate creator for all of eternity. Do you see how that gets our eyes up and gets our knees down? That's why the wise men bowed. They didn't go, huh? They got on their knees, on their face. We don't go, well, I don't know. Tell me what you can do for me. Lord, anything I disagree with you on, you're right. Anything you want to do, I don't want to do, I'm doing. Anything you want to say that I don't want to hear, I'm listening. Because your creator, you're eternal. You showed up, took flesh upon you so that you could be my savior and die and I could spend eternity with God. That's what Christmas is about, Charlie Brown. Of letting God be so high and so mighty in his forgiveness and his grace. And the surprise of that soldier coming home that touches us so deeply is a thimble to the ocean of God showing up on planet Earth to embrace us. So if we're going to have a heavenly Christmas, we got to realize Jesus is eternal, not just earthly. And we got to celebrate that he left heaven and came to dwell among us. And that is a huge deal. And then the third thing we have to do is to remember that Jesus is coming again for his church. Jesus is coming again. Did you know that? He came one time. We believe in that. We're celebrating that right now. But he's not just come one time. He's going to return. It's called the second coming of Christ. And he's going to return. He's going to come back and he's going to take his church. And what I mean by church is this, not a building, not a physical location. He's going to take his believers, those that have placed their trust in him. They're going to be called up in the heavens. It says in Thessalonians, it says those who are alive and remain shall be called up. To meet the Lord in the heavens, to meet those that have, the dead have rise first, and to meet the Lord in the heavens for all of eternity. It's going to be an amazing, amazing thing. So he's come once, but he's coming again. And that's what's incredible. I want you to turn. We looked at John 1:14. I want you to turn to John 14:1, okay? We've been at 1:14. Now turn to 14:1, and let me show you this of him coming back, which is so amazing to think about at Christmas, isn't it? John 14:1 says this, do not let your heart be troubled. Well, why not? Well, because I'm the creator, because I'm eternal, because I want to live inside of you. Believe in God, also believe in me. The two are one. In my Father's house are many rooms. And if it were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. Isn't it interesting? There was no room for him in the inn in the Christmas journey. But now he says, in my Father's house, there's many rooms. There's room for you. In my house, if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Verse 3, if I'm going away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, personal relationship, so that where I am, you may also be. You know the way to where I'm going. Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Big verse, ding, 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 ding. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the message of God. He's the word. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ came on planet Earth to provide for us a way so that you and I could leave planet Earth and go and spend eternity with heaven. He is in heaven. He is a dash. And if you want another dash after your death date, then you're going to have to trust in Jesus because he's eternal life. That's how it rolls. So he is eternal. He's the creator. He's come. And three things I want you to know real quick about this. Number one, you can know Jesus personally. You can know Jesus personally. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, he gave the right to be the children of God. You trust in the Son of God, you'll become a child of God. Not just trusting in Christmas, red and green. That God the creator was a Trinity. It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. And the eternality of Jesus Christ stepped into planet Earth, took flesh upon him, and he was able to live the life so that we could know him personally. He lived a perfect life. Number two, you can have life eternally. You can have life eternally. Isn't that incredible? What a deal. We're all about the presence under the tree. Let me tell you about the presence of the one who hung on the tree. Let Christmas be about the presence of God, not the presence of man. And God will light up your heart for the Lord. You can have life eternally. John chapter 20, verse 31. All these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have eternal life in his name. You can have eternal life. Absolutely amazing. See, here's what's happened with Christ. Let me give you one other thing. We're all so smart today. Doctrine of creation, doctrine of the eternality of Jesus Christ, right? We've got that. Then we've got now, I'm going to give you the doctrine of the hypostatic union. It means that bringing of together of God and man, that Jesus is fully God and he's fully man. Well, he's fully man in this way. He perspired. He had limitations. He had emotions. He had temptations. Jesus was hungry. He was fatigued. He was tempted in all things, but without sin. He was sorrowful. He experienced betrayal. He did everything that we would do as humans. But he was also divine. He claimed divine authority. He accepted worship. He forgave sins. He performed miracles. He is the Emmanuel. He said, God the Father and I are one. He's Emmanuel, God with us. So he's the God-man come together. Why? So that you and I as men and women could have someone pay for our sin for all of eternity. If it's just somebody paying for sin, that's going to last until that guy's no longer in power. When he dies, he doesn't die because there's no death date for him. There's always a dash with Jesus. And so we're able to walk in those ways to see God in the hypostatic union. God is fully man and fully God. Jesus is fully man and fully God. So you can know Jesus personally. You can have eternal life. And then the third and final thing is this. You can invite others into his story. This is so cool, guys. We get to invite others into the story. We get to say to other people, you know what? If Jesus can show up on planet Earth, he can show up in your parenting. He can show up in your teenage years. He can show up in your marriage. He can show up in your singlehood. Jesus showed up in Bethlehem. He can show up in any other place on Earth. And the Creator, the eternal Christ, the salvation we find in redemption allows us to live out because Jesus, the God-man, died on our behalf and we get to invite others into his story. You don't have to say it all like that. It's a big mouthful. You just get to say to your friends, you say, you know what? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Is there anything I can pray for you about? Is there anything I can encourage you? Is there a Bible verse that you'd like for me to find for you to help with that situation? Would you like to come to church with me? Would you like to come to Christmas Eve service with me? Would you like to come to a Christmas concert or even the story next weekend? Would you come with me? And we get to invite others into the story. Can I just tell you, our video alluded to it earlier in the service, but let me just tell you a couple things we can celebrate together of us telling the story as a church. Our mission trips all throughout domestically and internationally. Do you know that in our mission trips this year, we go on a lot of mission trips. This year, we got to tell the story in 25,439 gospel conversations this year. Is that incredible? Let's cheer for that. 25,439 conversations, a one-on-one gospel conversation with somebody. I'm getting to get one on thousands right now, but one-on-one gospel conversation. In our city here, in the city of Houston that we love so much, we have faith centers. We have three faith centers. We have one in Spring Branch, one in Harwin, and one in Timber Grove. And that's where we give away food and clothing, and we help people that are in need, and we share the gospel with them as well. We don't just give them, you know, here's clothes and say, you know, good luck to you. We don't just give them the gospel and say, well, I hope you find something to keep you warm. We do both to be able to connect those together. And so in our, I'll tell you when you can cheer. So let me give you a couple things here. In just in our city, just in helping people in those needs kind of thing, we've had 11,500 gospel conversations this year. We've given away 3.7 million pounds of food this year. We've given away $555,000 to help people pay their bills, to get back on their feet, to make it through troubling times, all of those sort of things. And we think, and this is just a lowball estimate, but we think that we've helped about 41,000 people outside of our church in our city that are going through tough times that we're able to do that. So count of three, go crazy. One, two, three, let's go. That's awesome. Hey, a big church can make a big difference, right? We're not just showing up for a fashion show on Sundays. We're showing up to make a difference for God to do his work through us as a church. For people that don't have clothes, that don't have food, we're going to be able to help them in that to make that difference. To the tune of $500,000 and more dollars, 3.7 million pounds of food. I can't imagine how much that is. And 11,000 plus gospel conversations. So we're giving gospel conversations in the world and all over mission trips. We're giving gospel conversations here in our city with people that are in need. But let me tell you about the best one. You know what the best one is? Here's the best one. When you get to have a conversation with one of your friends, take it from the macro and put it in the micro. And you with somebody you know, you loved, who trusts you, who you've prayed for, you get to tell them, this isn't just a baby. This is God in the flesh. And he came because he loves you. And you get to have that kind of conversation with somebody you know at your office or your school, something like that. God's been working on their heart. You don't have to be a pro at it. You just jump out there, just go for it. That is the joy of telling the story. It's what Andrew did in chapter 1 of John. We've been all over John today. Andrew just invited simply his brother Simon to come to hear about Jesus, and he came to Christ, became one of the disciples. So let me put the whole thing together. We'll wrap it up. Is Christmas just, we kind of got the baby in between the camels and the reindeer? No. Christmas is, after 400 years of silence, we put together this whole thing of minor prophets. You can get it online. We're in Minor Prophets. We have that part of the messages there. You can get that. All these prophecies coming together. Then 400 years of silence, and this baby cries. But it's not a birth. It's a begotten. It is God stepping into earth in the flesh. And he is the eternal Christ that is going to live a sinless life as the God-man. And he's going to die on the cross, but there's no death date with him. Don't put it on his tombstone. He's just a dash. And he's going to rise again. And for you and I who do have a birth date and will have a death date, if that dash is going to be an eternal dash, it's got to be because we trusted in Jesus Christ. And we said, Lord, we want you as creator to forgive us of our sins. We thought we were top of the food chain. And we want to trust you for all of eternity. Let me give you a final quote and we're done. We've been doing our church-wide devotional. We do this every year for probably about 30 years. We've done this and we've got a new one. I hope you'll get it in Corner Books. And today or this week on December 6th, I don't know if you read it, but December 6th, it says, why the incarnation? And I thought this is perfect way to end the message. It's a quote from Oswald Chambers, the incarnation, God taking on flesh in Jesus. The verse that he has at the top is, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. Here's what it says. Quote from Oswald Chambers. He is God incarnate, not man becoming God, but God coming into human flesh. You see the difference? Coming into it from the outside, heaven to earth. It's the most, last sentence, most important thing. His life is the highest and holiness, the highest and the holiness, holiest, entering in at the lowest door. Jesus's life is the highest and the holiest, entering in at the lowest door, coming into planet Earth. If you ever go to Bethlehem and you go to the place where they say Jesus was born, you have to come through what's called the humility gate, the doorway into the church. I'm short and I still got to bow down. Because what it's saying is everybody that walks into here, you're going to have to get humble. So here's what we do. Well, I'm not, tell me about creation. I'm the best there's ever happened. You are Creator God. Thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. I've eaten from the wrong trees. And now you've sent yourself in flesh to dwell among us. And I want to put my dash in the hand of the one who has no death date or birth date. And I want Jesus to be my eternal Savior, not just a baby on Christmas Day. And that, my friend, is a heavenly Christmas that changes your entire heart and eternity. And can change every aspect of your life as well. The eternal Christ on Christmas for us to receive. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. All of us are going to have a funeral plot somewhere. But your tomb is empty. And we come and we place our faith in you that you are from eternity past, Jesus. You are to eternity future. You are a part of the creation of this world and the creation of us. You are in charge. Father, we ask that you would save our souls. If you don't know Christ as Savior, that you trust him as Savior today. So your eternity would be secure in him. For those of us that are believers, Lord, let us share the great story with somebody through an invitation to church or an event or a gospel conversation. Thank you for eternity in the future. We trust you. Take just a moment. We're going to wrap up. What did God speak to you today? What did you hear today? Just repeat that back to him. Say, Lord, I heard you. Was there a doctrine that came alive today? If you don't know Christ, would you come to him today? If you know him and you're not living for him, would you come home today? Thank you, God, for sending your one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of the eternal nature of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. Speak to us this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.